Glad that you got up an hour early this morning so to come hear those beautiful, comforting words in our prayer, Lord. We are glad that you are here. I had to make an extra effort to get here on time since I'm the worship leader today for Pastor Phil. He has been invited to do a four-series sermons in his grandmother's church at Saluda, in St. Paul, and you've heard him say many times about the robe he wears, that his grandmother gave him that robe, and I know it'll be a very special time for him today. So please include him in your prayers as we go throughout this service today, as we ask God's direction. Now let us stand before the Lord and repeat together Main Street's vision and mission statement. As the friends of God, let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. What is the mission of Main Street United Methodist Church? We are following Christ from City Center. And what is our vision? As members of Main Street United Methodist Church, we are called to grow as a community of disciples of Jesus Christ by faithfully worshiping our holy God with love and devotion, compassionately serving those in need, building bridges to the neighborhoods in Greenwood, welcoming to all to hear God's story. Please join me now in singing hymn number 111, How Can We Name a Love? Lord be with you. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, when we love you with all we are, and when we obey you out of love and respect, it brings all our lesser loves into proper alignment. We can celebrate all your good gifts and not ask of them what they cannot provide. How easily our love for Jesus Christ degenerates into church duties. How quickly we substitute our good works for his great work. How soon we forget that to work for him, we must first receive from him. How often we allow the press of duties to edge out the call of devotion. These sins are so much a part of who we are that we cannot lose ourselves or find our way back to you. May your Holy Spirit apply to us the gifts of mercy and forgiveness, that we may return to happy sins for his instructions. Amen. As the Holy Spirit shines light upon you, I invite you now to pray in silence to express your sins to God. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Seated. If you are visiting with us today, we welcome you. And if the folks on the center of the aisle would pass the book down, we'd love for you to sign so we can recognize that you are here today. Today, the prayer walk and prayer class has been canceled. But don't forget the Wednesday service at noon at First Baptist Church for the Lenten series. And Wednesday night, we have the gathering at 5 o'clock, and Chick-fil-A will be furnishing the food this week. But be sure to make your reservation with Kathy Kelly and plan on staying for the studies afterwards. Remember, prayer service is every Thursday night at 6:30, and it only lasts for 30 minutes. And a future date to remember is an Easter egg hunt for the children on March the 26th from 10 until 12 noon. When I got here this morning, I learned that the food bank representative was not able to come, but never fear, we will get the food that you brought to the food bank, and hopefully they will come another week and speak to us about this vibrant ministry in our community. At this time, Suzanne Nicholson will read the Old Testament for us.
Good morning. Thank you.
The Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 1 through 17, and verses 33 through 37. Please follow along in your Bibles. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell all the people of Israel, I am the Lord your God. You must be holy because I am holy. Each person among you must respect his mother and father, and you must keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not worship idols. Do not make statues of gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. You may sacrifice a fellowship offering to the Lord. If you do, You must offer it to it so you will be accepted. You may eat it the same day you offer it, and you may also eat it on the next day. But if any is left on the third day, you must burn it. If any of it is eaten on the third day, it is unclean. It will not be accepted. Anyone who eats it then will be guilty of sin. This is because he did not respect the body, respect the holy things that belong to the Lord. He must be separated from his people. You harvest your crops on your land, but do not harvest all the way to the corners of your fields. If grain falls onto the ground, don't gather it up. Don't pick all the grapes in your vineyards, and don't pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. You must leave those things for poor people. You must also leave them for people traveling through your country. I am the Lord your God. You must not steal. You must not cheat. You must not lie to each other. You must not make a false promise by my name. If you do that, you will show that you don't respect your God. I am the Lord. You must not cheat your neighbor. You must not rob him. You must not keep a hired worker's salary all night until morning. You must not curse a deaf man, and you must not put something in front of a blind person to make him fall. But you must respect your God. I am the Lord. Be fair in your judging. You must not show special favor to poor people or great people. You must be fair when you judge your neighbor. You must not spread false stories against other people. You must not do anything that would put your neighbor's life in danger. I am the Lord. You must not hate your brother in your heart. If your neighbor does something wrong, tell him about it. If you do not, you will be partly to blame. Verses 33 through 37. Do not mistreat foreigners living in your country. Treat them just as you treat your own citizens. Love foreigners as you love yourselves, because you were foreigners one time. That was in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Be fair when you judge people, and be fair when you measure and weigh things. Your weighing baskets should be the right size, and your jars should hold the right amount of liquid. Your weights and balances should weigh correctly. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Remember all my laws and rules and obey them. I am the Lord. The word of the Lord for God's people.
Thanks be to God. At this time, we'll have the children's sermon with Suzanne Pickney.
Good morning. I'm so glad to see each of you today, and especially after you lost an hour's sleep last night. I am just glad you're here. This morning, I'm going to be talking about how we can show our love for Jesus in the things that we do, as well as in the things that we say. But we're going to be concentrating on things that we can do to show our love and our dedication to Jesus. And this first story has something to do with eggs. And at the end of the children's time, I'm going to give each of you an egg, or I'm going to have Vivi to come up and help me give eggs, and Richie, to each of you. And the ones that are left over, you are to go out in the congregation and find some elderly people to give these to. Okay? I've got two dozen, so I think we'll have some left over. This first story about eggs has to do with a person who really lived many years ago. He was a minister. His name was Charles Spurgeon. And he was considered, is considered one of the greatest ministers to ever live. Now, when Pastor Phil comes back, don't tell him I said that, okay? Don't tell him. He was married, and he and his wife had some chickens in their backyard. And they would gather the eggs that those chickens hatched, or laid, rather, and they would sell them. And, you know, they insisted that everybody that got eggs would pay them something for those eggs, even their closest relatives. And the people would complain and say, well, you're just being selfish. You're not wanting to share your eggs. And they just took the criticism. They didn't explain why they had to have some money for their eggs until after Mrs. Spurgeon died over 100 years ago. And then they explained that they sold the eggs and they used the money to support two elderly women who lived close by and needed some help. And so they were showing, they were demonstrating their love for God and for Jesus by selling the eggs and then using the money to help take care of those elderly ladies. And so, you know, even though he was a preacher, he never mentioned this story in the pulpit. But he just went about doing this because he knew it was the right thing. And he knew that it would honor Jesus. Okay, our next story has to do with perfume. There's a story in the Bible about a lady named Mary that used perfume to pour on Jesus' feet. And Mary and her sister Martha were friends of Jesus. And he went to visit them. And by the way, their brother was the one that had just been raised from the dead by Jesus. And his name was Lazarus. So they were all there visiting, and some of the disciples were there. And Mary took out her most expensive perfume. It was worth a lot more than this little jar of bottle of perfume that I bought for just a few dollars. It was worth, the Bible tells us, a year's wages, one whole year's salary. And it was Mary's most prized possession. But she loved Jesus so much, and she wanted to show her love for him. So she opened the perfume, and the Bible tells us it was a pint. Now, this is not anywhere near a pint. A pint is the same as two cups. And she poured the perfume and rubbed it on Jesus' feet. Then she bent over and dried Jesus' feet with her long hair. And in doing that, she was showing her great love for Jesus. And so that just goes to show that we don't have to say anything to show Jesus that we love him. We can do things for other people that are kind and helpful and show our love for him. Now, you would think that everybody else would have said, oh, Mary, that's a wonderful thing you did. But that wasn't the case. She got some criticism from one of the disciples. And his name was Judas. Now, he is the one that would later betray Jesus. He said, you didn't have to do that, Mary. You could have given it to me. We could have sold it, and we could have given all that money to the poor. But he wasn't thinking about giving money to the poor. He wasn't concerned about the poor. He was thinking about himself because he was the one that had the money bag, and oftentimes he'd go into that money bag and get money out for himself. Okay, so I want you to think of a way you can show your love for Jesus without saying a word. Think of a way you can do that at home today or this coming week in school. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, help us to demonstrate our love for you by what we do as well as by what we say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our speaker this morning is our choir director, our own John McFadden. John started here at Main Street on July the 1st. Well, that happened to be my first Sunday to serve as lay leader from the pulpit, and his first Sunday as choir director. Now I'm back, and he has another first, his first Sunday to preach here. I bet you didn't know he could preach. Well, what led him to this path? John grew up in Greer. His dad was a full-time Southern Baptist minister of music from 1949 to 1987, and he continued to lead on a part-time or interim basis until 2014 when he was 88 years old. So John is following in his footsteps. John graduated from Greer High School, Anderson University, and East Texas Baptist University. He received a master's degree in church music from the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. He met his wife, Debbie, while they were both on a summer mission team in the Northwest United States in the summer of 1977. She was a student at Texas A&M University at the time. They got married in 1979. Debbie is a computer programmer who works from her home in the pharmaceutical industry. John and Debbie have two children and four grandchildren. John has served churches in Alabama and Texas. He was on the staff of Northside Baptist here in Greenwood for 15 years. They have lived in Greenwood since 2000. John, you've proven you can direct the choir. Now let's see if you can preach.
Why, thank you, Marilyn. I'll have to see what I can do there. What an introduction. But that's okay. If you were listening to Marilyn's introduction, there was one word that you heard scattered through there several times, and that's Baptist. I was raised by a Baptist minister. All of my experience serving churches until I came to Main Street was in Baptist churches. Now, Pastor Phil told me that I could use humor. We'll see how that goes in just a minute. But I thought it would be good, as I began our time together this morning, by giving a brief report. And I have entitled this report, Things That I Have Learned as a Baptist Coming to Main Street United Methodist Church. It's okay to laugh during this part of the service. Number one, and this is number one because it was really the first thing, before I actually started the job, I learned this, and that is this. The hanging of the greens is extremely important here at Main Street United Methodist Church. I think I accepted the position, I accepted the job, and I was talking, I've forgotten who was in that conversation, but they said, look, we're just so happy and excited to have you at Main Street United Methodist Church, and I said, well, I'm happy to be here. And then all of a sudden, all of the lights in the room went out, and six people came in, whom I don't know, and they stood really close to me, and somebody shined one of those really bright spotlights on me, like they do when they're interrogating somebody in one of the old cop shows. Are y'all with me? I said, are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Okay, y'all are with me now. And then they said, now listen, John, the hanging of the greens is really important. And it's a real serious thing, and it's going to be very bad if you mess that up. Now, we don't want to put any pressure on you, but you better do a good job with the hanging of the greens. And I said, well, can I have a key to my office so I can start working on it? The second thing that I learned is related to the first thing, and that is this. It does not do any good to ask if you can move the first Sunday of Advent back a couple of weeks. In fact, people look at you real strange if you even ask that question. The third thing that I learned is that the SPRC really has nothing to do with preventing cruelty to animals. I thought that was better than that, y'all. I'm telling you. I referred to this one a few weeks ago, but the charge conference has nothing to do with investment and financial planning. I learned this. If you hear someone say, "The Lord be with you," it's best to pay attention because something else is coming real quickly. Number six, and I hope this is not a surprise to any of you, but Methodists eat at least as much, if not more, than Baptists. I hope that's not a surprise to you. And number seven, Lent has nothing to do with what collects in that little filter in my dryer. And so those are just a few of the things that I have learned since I have come to Main Street United Methodist Church. The passage that I want to talk to you about this morning is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It's verses 38 through 42. I'm going to read it in just a second, but I think I was drawn to this particular passage for a couple of reasons. First, one thing that I have learned about Lent is that it's a time of examination that leads to a celebration at Easter. And in this passage, Jesus asked Martha to examine her motives and really her heart. And the second reason I think I was drawn to this particular passage of Scripture is that I have a pet peeve that I'm going to share with y'all right now. It's one of my pet peeves that when we read the Bible and when we read about people in the Bible, we don't think of them as being like us, really. We think because they're in the Bible that they have things a little bit more together. They're not quite as flawed as we are. And that's a pet peeve of mine because I believe that the people who are talked about in Scripture are just like you and me. They have the same problems. They have flaws. We're going to see that a little bit this morning. And I believe that Martha and Mary had real desires. They had a little bit of conflict between them. And an episode like this one is something that could have happened in any household, in any time period, anywhere in the world. So I believe that anybody who has siblings, or really anybody who has ever lived with someone in a household, can identify with this story. And there's one other thing that I want to mention before I read the passage to you. Immediately before this passage in the Gospel of Luke, we find the story of the Good Samaritan. And one thing that I learned as I was reading different things that different scholars had written is that often in the Gospel of Luke, you learn a little bit about how to apply the truth or how to interpret a particular passage by what is in close proximity to it in the Scripture. That was a new thought to me. So I'm going to mention that now and come back to it in a few minutes. Let me read the passage for us. Luke 10, 38 through 42. "Now as they went on their way, he, Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion which shall not be taken away from her.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Now we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to sort of pull this story apart a little bit. We're going to talk about the people in this story, and then we're going to put it back together to see what the Lord has to say to each one of us through this episode. You kind of get the setup real quickly. Jesus, as he was traveling, probably with the disciples, entered a village, and Martha received him into her house. I'm going to take it just a little bit out of order, because the first person that I want to talk about is Mary. Let's ask what Mary did in this section of Scripture. Well, we're told that she was doing one thing. She sat at the feet of Jesus. It's kind of interesting. Mary, this Mary, is mentioned three times in Scripture. In this passage, one time in John 11, when she fell at Jesus' feet and she shared her woe. And then in John 12, which is the passage that Susan was referring to just a minute ago, she fell at Jesus' feet and poured out her worship on him. Well, let's talk about Mary's choice. What choice did she make? Well, she apparently helped Martha for a while. We'll kind of see that when we look at what Martha said. But then she chose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his teaching. And I don't know how it happened. Maybe Mary was in the kitchen with Martha as they were fixing things, and she took the chips and the dip into the dining room, and instead of going back into the kitchen to help Martha, she sat down to listen to Jesus as he taught about the kingdom of God. And I think that she was drawn to Jesus and to his teaching. Maybe she had heard some of the things that Jesus had taught, things that we know that he said. For example, in Matthew 6, Jesus said, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Maybe Mary heard Jesus say that. She was encouraged. She was lifted up by those words. And she was interested in hearing Jesus teach more about the kingdom of God. Well, what choices could she have made? Let's explore some possibilities here for a minute, shall we? She could have gone back in the kitchen and helped Martha, right? Nod your head this way if you're with me. Yes, thank you for playing along. She could have gone back into the kitchen to help Martha. She could have encouraged Jesus and his disciples to help Martha. Now here was Jesus, 12 guys with him. They're sitting there listening. Mary could have said, "Hey, guys, let's get together. Martha needs some help in here. Let's go in here and help her." Well, she didn't do that. She could have invited Martha to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his teaching. She could have done that, but she didn't. Now, she may have had an inkling while she was listening to Jesus that, you know, Martha may be a little uncomfortable. She may not like me sitting here with Mary, with Jesus, listening to his teaching. She could have chosen just to leave rather than face the confrontation that she might have thought was coming. Well, let's ask ourselves, what happened because of her choices? Well, we know a couple of things. Martha got upset, but Jesus taught a great lesson. From the choices that Mary made, what can we discover? What can we say? What can we conclude about her character? Well, we know a couple of things. She loved Jesus, and she loved his teaching. So that's Mary. Let's talk about Martha. You remember when she came out, this is what she said. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." So let's ask ourselves, what's Martha thinking? What's going on with Martha? Well, she was worried about being a good hostess. She was worried about making sure that everything was done. She was worried about doing her duty in showing hospitality. She was worried about her reputation, maybe. She didn't want anybody to be able to leave her house and say, well, you know, I visited Martha's house, and she didn't offer me a graham cracker to eat. She was concerned about her reputation, possibly. And she was worried about Mary and what Mary was doing. Well, let's talk about Martha's choices. What choices did she make? Well, she chose to busy herself in preparation for serving her guest. Now, it would be real easy for us, I think, to come down kind of hard on Mary. But I don't think we can do that, because I believe that Martha was operating out of the way that she was wired. I believe that Martha was the older of the two sisters. Do we have any older sisters here this morning? I see a couple of hands. Do we have any younger sisters here this morning? Yeah, I see some hands, and the younger sisters are going, Yeah. She was wired that way. She was the responsible one. She was the one that took care of things. She wanted to provide a good experience for her guests, but she paid a price for it, didn't she? She got frustrated with Mary. She expressed her frustration to Jesus, and it's possible that she felt frustration with herself. Emily and I were talking about this story the other day, and Emily brought up a good point. She said, well, maybe Martha was sort of irritated within herself at herself, because she was doing what she believed was the right thing to do, and yet she knew Mary was spending time with Jesus, and maybe she felt a little bit left out. And that's a possibility. There were all kinds of things that were going on within Mary. Another thing that she did, she chose to express her frustration with Mary to Jesus in a very public way. She almost ordered Jesus to command Mary to help her. Now let's stop and think for just a second right there. I don't believe that Martha or Mary or the disciples completely understood who Jesus was at that particular point in His ministry. I don't think they completely understood until after the resurrection. But think about how unusual, how crazy maybe for Martha to walk out and practically wag her finger in the face of God in the flesh, because that's what she was doing. She was upset, and she went out and she told Jesus exactly what she thought about it. And she was doing that to God in the flesh. Well, let's think about the choices. She had some other choices that she could have made, didn't she? She could have chosen to spend time with Jesus herself. She didn't need to wait for anybody to give her an invitation or someone to go and get her. She could have come out, sat down beside Mary, and listened to Jesus teach. She could have provided a bit more simple meal. Lee was in the 8:30 service and heard me talking about this, and she said she thought Martha may have been the Martha Stewart of her day. She was in there preparing this elaborate meal, and she missed some time with Jesus because of that. Maybe that's true. She could have asked Mary or even Jesus and the disciples for help. Or she could have stomped out in anger. She got so mad. Or she could have swallowed her frustration and dealt with Mary after Jesus left. Now, let's think about this. They're there. Martha comes out, and she basically tells Jesus exactly what she wants Him to tell Mary, to get in the kitchen and help her. What happened because of her choices and her actions? Well, her frustration and her anger caused her to explode at Jesus and Mary. She embarrassed everyone except Jesus. Have you ever been in a public setting, maybe a family get together, and people start talking, and there are some differences of opinion, and all of a sudden somebody says something real loudly and real angrily? What happens? The whole room gets quiet, doesn't it? Nobody knows exactly what to say now. People sort of emotionally step back a little bit. And that's possibly what happened on this occasion. And everybody sort of took that attitude possibly except Jesus. Before we talk about exactly what Jesus said, let's see what we can conclude about Martha. Martha was responsible and strong-willed. This is probably not the first time she got crossways with her sister. Martha was a person of action. When something was not right, she was going to do something about it. And she did not mind expressing her opinion. Okay, we've talked about Mary, and we've talked about Martha. Let's talk about Jesus' response. Here they are in this public setting. Martha comes out and explodes. Everybody's kind of standing there. And Jesus looks at her and he says, "Martha, Martha." You know, if somebody calls your name twice, they're making sure that they have your attention. And sometimes when they do that, it's kind of an angry statement. They're expressing anger with what you're doing. I don't think that's what Jesus expressed with Martha. I think he was pleading with Martha a little bit. He wanted her to get the message that he had for her. And he said, "Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." We had a whole list of them a couple of minutes ago, didn't we? She was worried about everybody being served, worried about showing hospitality, maybe worried a little bit about her reputation. She was worried about a lot of things. But then Jesus said, "One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it's not going to be taken away from her." Well, what did Jesus mean by that? What was he saying about that? Well, remember I mentioned a little while ago the story of the Good Samaritan and how that's set in such close proximity to this story. Well, if the story of the Good Samaritan was about loving our neighbor, then I believe that Jesus was making a statement here about loving God and loving His kingdom. But the lesson that He was trying to teach is not that there's anything wrong with service. We should all seek to serve. That's part of the Christian life. But it's best when our service flows out of our worship. It's best when it flows out of the overflow, if you will, of our heart's relationship with Christ. We've kidded around an awful lot about me and my Baptist background and my Baptist experience. Let me tell you, I was tickled this week when I found that one of the scholars had quoted a hymn by Charles Wesley, who made a wonderful point along these lines. Charles Wesley, the title of the hymn is, "Lo, I Come with Joy to Do the Master's Blessed Will." And in that hymn, there's a stanza that says, "Faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part. Serve with careful Martha's hands and loving Mary's heart." It's not an either-or proposition. It's a both-and proposition. Our service in our worship life, our service in our devotional life, go hand in hand, and our service should flow out of our daily lives. And then one other point to make. The kingdom of God should take priority over other concerns. It has to be the basis, the foundation from which our lives operate. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now that doesn't mean that we don't have to work. That doesn't mean that we don't have to take care of things in life. We know that we do. But what that teaches is we start with our relationship with God. We start with Christ. And everything that we do flows out of that relationship. So in conclusion, let me ask you a couple of very simple questions. What are you seeking first? What's the first priority in your life? On the back of your bulletin, Pastor Phil wrote a prayer for devotion. Lord Jesus Christ, my heart is a wanderer and soon turns away from You. I surrender my scattered life into Your care and healing. Let's take just a moment and reflect on that thought and perhaps pray that prayer yourself where you are. Now let's sing together a hymn of devotion. Number 453, More Love to Thee, O Christ.
Please remain standing for the Apostles' Creed and your hymn number 881. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And the ushers are prepared to take the offering. Thou the gifts our hands have brought. Bless thou the work our hearts have planned. Ours is the faith, the will, the thought. The rest, O God, is in thy hand. Amen. Please join me now in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At the conclusion of the benediction, John will be in front and come by and tell him we found out he can preach too. Now let's all stand and sing 170, Oh How I Love Jesus, and let's sing it like we mean it. Page 1.
Main Street, receive a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. As Howard said at the end of the 8:30 service, you have been blessed. Let's go out from here and be a blessing. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you.